When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, it's Dom here. I just wanted to give a quick heads up before the episode starts that today we will be discussing suicide, and we know that can be a distressing and sensitive topic. If you or anyone you know are experiencing suicidal thoughts, please seek help and visit sprc.org. Or if you're US-based, you can call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 988. Take care of yourselves. We love you. Hello, welcome back.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. And yourself?
Lovely. Just having the bestest day thus far.
How is it? Is it starting to get crisp and fall and beautiful over there on that side of the pond?
No, it is what you would consider it to be. Yeah, it's just like wet. It's just rainy. It's just super rainy.
Just that England gray that I miss so
dearly. Yeah. Yeah, that's sort of where we're at, which is fine. That's okay. What I signed up for by being British.
Yeah. Speaking of gray and dreary, we have quite the episode today, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I will be completely honest. I have not done my homework on this episode, so I'm fully flying by the seat of my pants here. But I was in it, so I feel like I'm going to remember at least the bits that I did. So for myself included, here's the information. It's episode 4, season 2, entitled Day of Wrath. The air date was January 23rd, 2017. Writer was Jamie Gorenberg. We love Jamie. Director Joe Lazaroff. We also love Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Starring Kat McNamara, Dominic Sherwood, Alberto Resende, Matthew Daddario, Emerald Tabea, Isaiah Mustafa, Harry Shum Jr., guest starring Alan Van Sprang, Christina Cox, David Castro, John Corr, Caitlin Lieb, Maxim Roy, Nick Sager, and Stephanie Bennett. I paused on Maxim's name because I think some stuff about this episode just came back to me. Is that this episode?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is? Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It's going to be bloody good, I'll just tell you.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, we were talking about shootouts, Western shootouts and people and such.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me. I wasn't there when this thing happened, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The Institute has wards and is very protected from the human world, but in this episode, the Institute comes under attack. No one is safe when the Shadowhunters come up against a new kind of demon. Uh-oh. Clary continues to struggle with the new Shadowhunter order as Jace is being held in the City of Bones with an unknown fate, and all suspicion in the Shadowhunter world continues to rest on Valentine's daughter. Thanks, Dad. When duty calls, Clary gets a little reprieve from the family drama as she helps Alec and Isabel hunt down a powerful demon. But what starts out as a routine mission quickly puts the Institute on high alert, and what happens next will change everything for the Shadowhunters and their downworlder friends. Meanwhile, Jocelyn has a proposition for Clary as Raphael and Simon ramp up their hunt for Camille. Whew! Busy time in the Shadow World.
That's a lot.
That's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
Filming began September 12th, 2016. Oh, that's interesting. This was the first episode that was written without a draft or outline because that was when Todd and Darren came onto the show. And the first few episodes of the season had already been lined up. And this was kind of their first step into their version of the story.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. How do producers find this stuff out? That's crazy.
I don't know. And it's also the final appearance of Stephanie Bennett, John Corr, and Caitlin Lieb on the show.
And somebody else.
I don't think we knew on the at the time as well. I mean, I think we knew John. It would probably be his last episode.
We knew
about
John. I think they told him. I think they made him aware. They're pretty good at, like, as a general rule, when someone's meeting the end of their sort of story, they're pretty good at letting people know. In general, I think on TV shows, like, it's not a surprise normally. Normally, you're sort of told that this is the end, as it were. Wow. Lots of goodbyes in this episode. Yeah.
I was talking to a producer the other day on set, and they were saying that, whenever they take an actor to dinner, it's usually they're either killing them or they have to get naked on camera.
Or they have to get naked?
It's like you have a new scene or you're dying. We don't know which. So just
this protocol needs to change, man. This new thing. Like, I remember that I have been a party to issues with nudity before. Like, there's a whole regulation that you have to go through. It's not oh, by the way, this is happening. For both men and women on set, like, there's this whole regulation that you have to follow. It has to go through your agents and your team. You have to give permission ahead of time. And I think a lot of times, less so now, fortunately, it's all starting to change a little bit. But it definitely in the past was just this, like, horrific thing where you'd read it in the script and you'd be like, oh, I'm naked. So...
yeah.
Wish someone had told me about that because that sucks.
But times are changing.
For the better.
Back to this episode, in which I don't think anyone gets naked in this episode.
No, I don't think so. We don't really have any nudity in the show anyway.
That's freeform.
Yeah, we had some like shirtless stuff and I think the most we got to was like underwear at any point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, no, that's not true. The werewolves had to simulate nudity.
Oh, fair.
It was never actual nudity, but simulated nudity is like, and because Chai had to do it, and I'm pretty sure Alicia had to simulate. You do have to simulate nudity, and that's tough. That's a tough thing to say. Oh, shoot. I remember this shot. So I found the episode. It's now playing in the background. And I remember the first time we got to see that it's you entering the City of Bones. We actually got to see the scale of the City of Bones. And I think was like Philippe's first foray into like, oh, look at what we did here. Like, we changed the portals around and whatever, but this, they actually gave us some free reign to do stuff. Man, this shot is cool. It looks like a miniature.
It does. Well, and I remember doing this as well because it was when we were on the set that they used on The Strain, which actually ended up being, for those who don't know, The Strain is another vampire show that also shot in Toronto. And actually, another fun fact, this is when we had Matt Hastings fully kind of taking over with production design. So not only did we go back to the set of The Strain to do The City of Bones one more time, but Matt Hastings had called up Legacies and Vampire Diaries and said, hey, you have a bunch of skulls and bones and things like around. Can we borrow some? And he brought those in and threw those into The Strain set to make the City of Bones bonier.
We needed a bonier set for the City of Bones because it couldn't just be the city of like dust and spider webs. That doesn't quite sound Shadowhuntery enough.
No, the city of a couple femurs laying around.
Yeah, just like a random metatarsal and you're like, oh, gross. But you just sort of move on. It doesn't have the same morbid, like gothic look, I think. Needs some proper bones.
Exactly. And we had lovely Stephen Hart back playing Silent Brother. I would always marvel on set every single time with them just drinking all day long, as opposed to not, you know, juice and soup and things.
I get it. Through the straw, because they would undo one of their stitches in their mouth. Mm-hmm. So all of their little crosshatch stitches are like this. And they would just have one that was mm-hmm. big enough for a straw. Because the other guys, so later on in the episode, the whole soul sword thing and torture and yelling, it's brilliant. But the other guys are wearing masks. I'm pretty sure it's just Steven, where they actually shut his eyes and do the prosthetics. The rest of the guys are wearing like full head masks, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a rubber Halloween mask kind of a thing.
Yeah, 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 pretty sure.
And here we have a very slightly confusing scene of Jason Clary. I always forget if this is the dream sequence one or if this is the real one.
Where you get jabbed.
Yeah, this is the real one, yeah.
This was like the first time we got to show proper blood on the show as well. Do you remember you had the blooming rig?
I remember. It was the one and only time we did it. And they didn't end up showing it in the end.
No, it didn't work really. I remember on the day it didn't really work. Like, I think for anyone who doesn't know, a blooming rig is like essentially a blood pump that goes underneath your costume. So if you ever see someone get shot or whatever, the bloom is the blood leaking and you see it sort of spread across the body. And obviously there's a rig underneath your clothing that releases the blood slowly and it just sort of spreads as if it's coming from a wound. But I think that in this case, the blood was more like FX blood that was designed to sort of stay in a place and it was a little thicker. I can't remember if that's more or less viscous. Does viscous mean thinner? I don't remember.
I think it does. I think viscous is flowing fluid.
Is flowy, yes. So it was not viscous enough, this blood. Yeah, and it didn't really bloom. It just sort of came out. And didn't give us the desired effect, which is a shame. But I'm with you. Let's keep watching. I don't remember if this is the dreamy sequence.
It is not. I watched a little bit ahead as you were explaining the blooming rig. It is not the dreamy sequence. This is the actual one where Jace goes, you know, leave me. I'm no good. Because at this point, you're, you know, Valentine's son.
I don't know is the thing. I'm Valentine's son. I've got this darkness in me. Oh, poor Jace. Poor Jace at the end of season one and beginning of season two, and then again at the mid-season break of season two, and then at the end of season two, and then a lot of season three. It's not great for him sort of most of the time. It was really nice playing a lawyer for a bit, though, where I wasn't worried about like dying or getting shot.
Well, that's nice. I'm back in that. I've never gotten out of that.
Yeah.
But now we're back at the Institute after Jace shoos Clary away and says, leave me here. Don't get involved. It's, mm-hmm. you know. And then now we're back at the Institute. We have a little Magnus and Alec reunion after Alec is back and well, after Jace having, and you know, done the peripatetic tracking and healing, etc. And they still haven't gone on their first date, which is unfortunate.
First date. I know. Still haven't gone on their first date. It is time for them to find time for a date, but it's tricky to find time for a date when your time is constantly occupied by the world coming to an end. Like during the zombie apocalypse, when do you go out for like a picnic? You know what I mean? In fact, a picnic would probably be the worst possible thing that you could do during a zombie apocalypse.
Just stay out in
an open field where we can get attacked from all sides by zombies. It's a horrible idea. Yeah. I'm scratching it off the potential date list. Poor Raj. Honestly, he comes into these scenes. Raj. Like it's so fucking funny and he's so good at it. he comes into these scenes already dejected. Like he comes in just like, I don't want to deal with these people.
And don't he's right.
He's right. Like all he's doing is his job. He's actually the best shadow hunter out there. He does as he's told and just tries to keep people safe. Oh man, what a shame.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
And then Clary's coming back and Jocelyn intercepts.
Yeah.
You know, Clary's trying to do her job. Clary's like, look, I got to go to a briefing. I just tried to save your son that you tried to kill from the City of Bones, like you care. And Jocelyn goes, hey, honey, by the way, it's so good to see you again. I'm going to Idris. Would you like to come with me?
That's what she thinks.
hey, not yet, though.
Sorry.
But, you know, Jocelyn being Valentine's ex-wife and having just now come back into the community, she has a lot to prove in the same way that Clary has a lot to prove being Valentine's daughter. And, you know, because of what Jocelyn has done over the years, they've given her a chance and said, all right, we'll offer you a job in Idris. Come prove your loyalty. Prove, you know, that you are not a spy.
It's not going to happen.
Well, you know, she's going to go, but Clary may or not. Clary may or may not. Because Clary's torn. She wants to be here. She's found a family. She's finally feeling as though she has a home and is a part of the team and has found her place a little bit. Mm. And honestly, she's not over her mom lying to her yet.
Yeah, it was a big
18
one.
18 years.
It was a big lie.
And then also like the brother thing.
Yeah.
Lies upon lies. It would have been really nice lies. To know. She did her best.
Yeah, she did what she could.
But now, as if, you know, it didn't make it even harder for Clary, she actually gets to be a part of the team and go hunt some shadows.
She gets to be a part of the team and go hunt some shadows. Yes, she does. She does get to hunt some shadows. What's Luke doing? Look at him in a blazer.
I know. I love it when we get to do this. We did this so rarely on the show where you actually get to see Luke be a cop, and, mm-hmm. but ride the line and sort of liaise between the shadow world and the human world, which is so cool. And he's just does it. It's just walking right through that. Through that portal.
Everyone's got their holsters as well. Remember season one, the swords would just kind of appear out of wherever and very often look like we were literally pulling them out of our ass, which had to change. There's one scene in particular with me where it literally looks like I've just pulled the entire sword out of my ass.
I mean, look, we just turned into the skid at a certain point, you know?
Yeah. Now we actually have holsters, which I think is so cool.
Yeah.
And we got good with them as well. Did you know, were you there? I actually met the person who bought my holsters at the end of the show.
Yeah. I missed that one.
They let me put them back on for the first time in like 4 years. It was crazy. Oh, like, wow. You know, we got so used to it just doing the buckles and whatever, you know, we would be doing as we were talking or as we were getting mic'd or in a scene, whatever it was. And that was cool. It was such a weird like flashback where my body just was like, oh, I know these things. And I just did everything. And before I knew it, they were on. It was very nice of that person. Thank you. Please take care of them because they mean a lot to me. And now hopefully they mean a lot to you.
That's amazing. Well, speaking of bodies and things that look really good in season two, check out this heart ripped out.
Yeah.
I mean, this poor Mundy. And also we have the iconic Alex saying, hey, Frey, for the first time.
Oh, really?
Part of the team.
That's the first time he says it ever?
Let's go. Yeah. He calls me her or little girl or the mundane or Clary.
Yeah.
Valentine's daughter.
Annoying colleague. That actually might have just been Matt talking about you, though.
That's true. I remember doing this scene with Matt. And it was the first time that Alec and Clary actually got to do a real job together where Alec wasn't trying to, you know, chase after her from running away. Mm. And something, you know how fast Matt walks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the scene was a walk and talk. And I never said anything, but it was so fun because he does walk so quickly. Clary just kind of had to scurry after him like a little puppy for most of the scene.
And this is so like, it's so New York and it's actually very London as well. He is so unwilling to change his walking pace for anyone. And if something unbeknownst comes in the way, it's very, very city behavior. Like it happens to me in London as well. And then I live just outside of London, this like little town, and people walk slower here because we're in the country. And I still have that city mentality. So I'm walking behind like an old lady with her little stroller. And I'm like, why is this person in my way? And I have to gather myself again for a second and be like, that's right. I'm not in the city. People are just enjoying their day. Just let them enjoy their day. Oh dear. Yeah.
I also remember when we were shooting this scene, it was in some neighborhood in Toronto, and there was a person who lived in one of the apartments up above these shops that was very unhappy that we were shooting so late at night and just started yelling out their window in the middle of takes.
Are made aware. Like you're told, you get given these letters, and I think you have the right to say, you have the right to argue against it later on, but we give you the hours, we give you exactly what's going to be happening, you know, we tell you if there's going to be, so I'm sorry, random spectator, but you were made aware that we were shooting
and
you chose to ignore it, and that's on you.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers, she wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Artesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
We actually have a very cool scene. Not cool, it's a horrible scene coming up, but it looks, it's very visually cool. To almost to the point where I was like, did they use a laser pointer for this? Like, that's how good it looks, but it's not
it
a laser pointer.
Have.
I don't think so. I think this is CG.
Oh, no, but I mean, on the day, I wonder if they did to.
Oh, for
just
eyeline?
So they knew exactly where it was.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, but the laser itself, the UV laser looks fantastic. It's even reflecting in his eyes. If you watch it closely, when it gets close to his face, it's reflecting in his eyes. Fantastic. Also fantastic acting from both Nick and from David. Congratulations, yeah. Gents. That was an awesome scene.
That's what I love about Folks VFX. It's those little details. You know, Philippe was always looking out for those little things that he could tweak and change and improve every time we did something new.
Yeah.
And I can't get over the fact of how much, you know, Nick Sagar is a wonderful human and just so entirely evil on our series.
I think that happens sometimes. Like the nicest people often play bad guys really well. You know
what
I mean?
Look at our show. Anna, Alan, Will.
Yeah.
Luke.
All big old softies. Luke. Luke, Nick. I think, actually is probably a demon in real life. I'm pretty sure I said it to his face. Have we spoken to Luke? Why have we not had Luke on? Oh, because he doesn't come until like season 3.
He's not here yet.
You're right.
I think some point we're going to have to do a Morgan Stern kids like therapy session.
A group thing.
With all four
Honestly,
of us.
Honestly, a group one wouldn't be a bad idea. You get the Shadow Hunters in. Yeah. We can get like Isaiah and Alberto in, do like, and Maxim, and do a little like family thing. And I'll just be here like, hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Get the Lightwoods in, and I will be probably excluded from that also, as often happens.
No,
bastards.
You're a Lightwood. I'll just be here to moderate.
Hey, what's in that box that Alberto's trying to open?
Camille's grave dirt.
Oh, why? Does he need
they
that?
Have to, that's how they track her.
Oh.
That's how you track a vampire, is their grave dirt. And it can only be opened... I think we find out later in this episode that it can only be opened with her blood, which Simon has because
he
was sired by Camille. Yeah.
Got it. This is a good show. Honestly, I should watch it. What happens next?
Now we're back in the City of Bones.
And you're there and you get stabbed. By who? Yeah, who gets
this
stabbed?
This is where we've got the blue knee
stabbing. I stab you.
You stab me.
I stab you. That's right.
You really enjoyed this on the day.
Do you remember this blooper where I like headbutted the railing by accident? I came at it with a little too much zip and clocked it.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's all right. You just really, really enjoyed stabbing me over and over again.
I was really looking forward to it. That's the thing. It's because I've been stabbed a lot and you've not been stabbed at all yet, I don't think. Yeah. Have you been stabbed yet? Yeah. No. This is the first stabbing.
No, I had not been stabbed yet. Nor I think you're the only person that actually stabs me on the show.
You stab you. In season 3 on the bridge in Paris, you stab you.
Oh, yeah, I stab me. There you go. That's true. That's true.
Twice, actually.
Don't
you?
Right.
Oh, no, because you stab him and it affects you.
I stab him and then I, yeah.
No, no, maybe that counts.
I stab me.
Technically still stab you, still affected you.
That's true.
Maybe. Kind of stupid prison gives you a knife. You know what I mean? Oh, it's a dream. I remember. Oh, well, you didn't give me a knife. I stole it off you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all coming back to me. Wow.
And then as you wake up from this dream.
Who's there?
Who but?
In neighboring cells, no less. There is a gap. There is a gap in my cell, 100% big enough for me to fit through, because I think I noticed that when we were filming and tried to squeeze through it. Yeah, there's a gap in my cell.
Didn't you try and get stuck or did you try and get out?
I got stuck. Yeah, I was in better shape back then, back when we were training 4 times a week with good old Nuno and then Darren and the boys. I was in better shape. Now, right now, I could squeeze through that in a heartbeat. And I think if Jace had waited like a week and a half without any food or sustenance, you know, slipped straight through. I'd have been like, see you guys, I'm out.
I will say though, the Silent Brothers should have thought this through a bit more rather than putting the mentor and the student next to each other in adjoining cells.
Yeah.
Although maybe it was a form of torture for you both. I don't really know. But we do learn in this scene that the City of Bones, one of the effects and one of the punishments of being a prisoner there is that they make you relive your worst nightmare and your worst fears over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Not a great place to be.
Yeah. Not a great place to be. It's funny that Jace didn't dream of ducks, book fans.
Right?
But I guess that wasn't also very Shadowhunter either. He's being chased around by ducks or whatever. Yeah.
Just like Clary dies and suddenly a duck just like, quack.
Yeah. Oof. I mean, that would honestly the concept of it in my head isn't a great, like it is quite scary anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt had a cross draw? That's so interesting. Did he always have a cross draw sword he drew from his left leg?
I think he did. I remember that because there were times where he's like, oh yeah. Because I think it had to do with where the bow was. So he had one and
I
don't know. It's Matt. He thought it through, obviously.
He did think it. He definitely thought it through, did Matt. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's when I still had Bubba's sword. I still had just one little sword.
Yeah, you had a little baby sword. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was a fun sword, honestly. I really liked that one.
That was a good one.
The Kindrels are great also, though. Oh, spoiler. We get new weapons later on.
Yeah, we get new weapons later on. Yeah. Poor little Mundy. This girl was great. Also, I remember she was so in it and so good to work with. But you felt for her because we had to just be like, hey, just sit in this alley, just this little back alley in Toronto.
And this was pre us having this alley set, right? This would have been on the street.
Yeah. It was full practical alley.
Yeah.
I remember this scene. Oh.
Luke and Jocelyn.
This is like the one genuine Jocelyn Luke scene we get in the entire series. Spoiler alert.
There's not going to be many more after this episode, let me tell you.
No, but it is nice to see these two because obviously they've had a lot of
they make out. For you guys. Oh, look at poor Raphael's face. He does not look good. Wow, our practical effects team did an amazing job there. That is incredible.
I gotta say, I miss the training room set. It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And the way that they built up, again, folks, VFX, the way that they built up, because our ceiling only went to the top of the pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, anything beyond that is built by computers.
Yes, built by computers.
And Luke goes, I'll go to Idris for you. I'll leave New York behind. I can't lose you again.
Sorry, you're absolutely right. And that's really lovely. I am just ahead on the scene Izzy and Lydia are just wheeling this body with a cavernous gaping hole in its chest just through the front door of the Institute.
Okay, before we get there, can we first just quickly talk about Raphael's face? Because you mentioned it, but we got to get back.
It's wild.
It's really well done. I think that's part CG and part makeup team. So shout out to Randy Dodlin.
Team. Yeah.
And shout out to David for playing it so well. I love seeing Magnus be godfather to the downworld.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Raphael, because he's such a person who pushes away any help and pushes away any kind of care and sentimentality for the most part. And to see him allow Magnus to be there for him in that way is really beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
And now we get the cavernous hole.
Now to the scene with the cavernous body. this is what makes me laugh, right? In what world do we not have like a basement entrance that we can bring fucking body into? Like, how do we not have, and like, nobody's really batting an eye. Like, nobody, Raj pops over and he's like, oh, hey guys, we have to chat about this thing. And then there's a bunch of other shadow hunters in the background and nobody's just like, this guy got his fucking heart ripped out of his chest. Nobody's freaking out about this. This is like a real, why is he here? Why does he have a blanket over him? Like, what is going on? This is mental. And everyone, they're just chatting next to this body. It's just wild to me. Absolutely wild. Oh, that's why it was a story device. I see. Because out comes the smoke demon. Out he comes.
Oh, that's why. Oh, that makes sense. Because they have to ignore it. Because then, unbeknownst to us, because we don't do our jobs well sometimes.
Yeah, also just like a black plume of smoke popping out in the lobby of our institute. Nobody notices. Not a single person. We have cameras and detection and highly trained shadow hunters throughout the institute. Not a single person noticed that literally at the front door. Not a single person.
No, oh, dear. It was really fast.
Yeah.
Oh, look. See, now his beautiful face is back. Thanks, Magnus.
Yeah, thanks, Magnus. Good boys.
Oh, my, you know, goodness. What? That's what it is. UV permanently damages vampires. Because vampires heal the way werewolves do.
Mm.
But not with UV rays. Not with sunlight.
Oh, I see. So he, Magnus was the only one who could fix him.
Yep. Oh, this is where we find out that this is the grave dirt.
Got
and
it.
About the blood. And I was like, a stupid box. David goes, no, no, no.
I know how to do this. Pop.
And even Magnus. I'm surprised that Magnus doesn't know this, though.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, look, if it were me and the secret to my location is my grave dirt and I'm going to hide it in this box, I think I would not want another cavernous body. I should pause because we should talk about that. I think if I were Camille, I would keep that to myself, especially to, around Magnus. You know, someone who has a good heart, who is sort of against this, like, dangerous frivolity that she is portraying all over the place all the time. She intentionally kept that a secret from Magnus, would be my guess. So that's why he doesn't know. But you're right, it's rare that he doesn't know something.
Also, here's another question. This alarm is blaring in the institute.
Mm.
So I know we have wards, but is there just an alarm going off in a park in New York City that people just hear it? Or do we have sound wards as well?
Because I guess it has to be sound. Yeah, it has to be like a sound thing.
There's going to be a sound blistering happening.
Very smart.
Hey, look, here's a scene where we're putting on our holsters.
Putting on the holsters. Yeah, this was, honestly, it became like you guys all did an amazing job of that. But it did become like second nature, just putting them on.
Yeah.
It happened so quickly. Like, props would just hand them to us with or without the weapons in them, whether they needed them to be there. And we would be talking and putting this stuff on, whatever it was. It was cool. Mm. Really cool.
This is when all the war tables were new.
Yeah.
I remember we said
slowly getting these new glimpses of the institute, because I guess there wasn't really like a shot. It's not really the sort of building that you could get a shot of, like, just a big sweeping look at this new place that we've put together. So we get like these little snippets of like I think even the sword holders are new, because we had the ones that used to come out of the walls, and I think we still have those, but these ones we didn't have. So these are just like a new addition, which I think is very cool. We get to show off our new shiny swords.
I gotta say, there's a moment. Everybody just gives Raj the worst time. Even Lydia, because Raj goes, oh, I'll stay with you. And Lydia goes, great, this day just keeps getting better. At the end of the scene.
Poor Raj. Honestly, what did he do? Like, at some point, was he like... I don't know. I can't even think of something bad enough that everyone hates him this much. Like, what is he like?
Even Lydia,
who's Lydia's pretty new. Normal and new. Yeah, it didn't really make any sense. Like, he must have done something real bad to be treated this way.
I don't know. Oh, now we're here with Clary and Izzy walking around the bowels of the Institute. Interestingly enough, there's a book quote in this scene. No one else is going to teach you how to fight demons in 5-inch heels. Because, you know, not only is Clary trying to deal with her brother in jail and this demon running around the institute, but life decisions, you know, as you do when you're 18 years old and trying to fight demons, you also have life to deal with.
Yeah, you do. You do have life to deal with.
It's interesting, too, looking at these two women, because you have Isabel, who's, you know, a bit envious of Clary's relationship with her mother, but then you have Clary, who's envious of Isabel's place in the institute and this assuredness that she has and who she is and what her place is in the world. And Yeah, no one else is going to teach you how to fight in 5-inch heels. That's why they make such good partners.
That's Uh-oh. What's next. Raj is a demon.
Oh, that's why. Raj is a demon.
Demon Raj. Eyes. Oh, wow. He just had his whole fingers like inside her chest cavity for a second there. That was really something.
This is the episode of our show where we really got to go for it. They really started letting us go for the blood and the gore and the...
Broken arm.
Ow, ow, ow.
Let's go, Alec. Let's go. This is also credit where credit's due here. Matt didn't have a fake draw strength bow until like late season two. Like episode 18, 19, season two. So the bow that he's pulling every time that he's drawing, I think was like 40 pounds. So for any archers out there who know what the poundage of a bow is, he's pulling and holding 40 pounds worth of weight with this backhand and pushing the other half of that away with his hand and just holding it there in place for as long as possible. I don't think any of us at any point ever felt unsafe with him. I mean, he never had an arrow actually knocked on the string, but I don't think any of us ever felt unsafe around Matt with his bow.
No. And that's not easy to do. I mean, when I did arrow, there were multiple times where I'd have to do entire scenes with my bow drawn, and mine was only 15, 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm wee, but also, you know, that wasn't easy to do. And I can only imagine.
You didn't have I can't remember which one's which, reflex and compound bow. Which one did you have? Did it have the pulleys?
It did, but they weren't really active. Like it was more for show. They just geared it up to make it look cool, and it was just an actual practical
bow. Yeah.
But it wasn't weighted very much, but it was still enough where my arm would be shaking after, you know, a couple of shots.
Yeah.
So credit to Matt there.
Yeah, wild. And he used to hold it weirdly as well. He would like pinch it and still just had enough strength to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Wild to me.
It's interesting. We have an archer on Walker Independence as well, the Justin, who plays our Native American character. And he plays an Apache on the show, and he's drawing his bow the way that the Apaches did, which is a different grip as well. It's a thumb grip as opposed to the fingers or anything else. It's really cool. I'm still learning things. Archery is following me wherever I go, which I very much appreciate. But here, speaking of following you, the ghost of your father is haunting you, given that you're in the City of Bones.
Yeah.
Not the real ghost, but the guilt by association ghost.
Yeah. Rather. Yeah, I'm about to get sort of semi-tortured.
Is this the first time we properly see the Soul Sword?
The new one, yeah. This because we saw the old one when you were in the City of Bones in episode 2, season 1. But this new one, this is the first time that we saw it, which mysteriously disappeared at the end of the show. I think I know who has it.
I've just realized something. Mm. So in episode 2, in season 1, that sword was entirely CG.
Oh, was it?
But they built, because they didn't hang a sword over my head in the actual City of Bones. But interestingly enough, this sword, I've just realized they had to make a practical version of what they created in VFX.
See, no, they changed it.
Did they?
Yeah, the VFX one from season 1 is a different sword, and it doesn't look like this. I'm like 90% sure.
Okay, well, never
Pretty
mind.
Sure.
So for those who aren't as familiar with the mythology of the show, the Soul Sword is one of the mortal instruments, and it when you touch it, it forces you to tell the truth. It also kills downworlders. Very powerful weapon. Currently, it's held in the City of Bones and used by the Silent Brothers in interrogations and in other Clave business.
Correct. Heavy as well, this one. This was the real... I don't know if we ever had... did we have a rubber version of this? I don't think we did. I think it was just the practical one. Oh no, we did because
I fought with it.
Yeah, we had to have had a rubber one for that for sure. Although
I hope
I do remember that fight scene hurting. I don't know.
I think that particular fight scene, if I remember, it was A, cold,
and
B, you had a lot of insert shots that you had to use the real sword.
That was a lot of
impact moments of having to use the shiny one, and not always as fun.
Not always as fun. Correct. This was the first time I really got to act with Nick as well, which was really like he's such a good scene partner.
Yeah.
Firstly, he's so committed and prepared and talented, but then also just a joy to be around on set. He's just such a nice dude. So it all encompassing, like everything he brings to a set is just positive. Like I can't think of one negative thing, especially when you're doing a scene like this, that's like hard work mentally and emotionally. And I think I do a bunch of screaming at the end, I'm pretty sure. And that like, it sucks. When you do the screaming stuff, you hyperventilate and it's hard work. So this is, you want to have someone like this, you know, with you the whole time, which is super nice. Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Next, we have to discuss this scene with our Downworlder friends, Magnus, Raphael, and Simon. Simon and Magnus have a lovely heart-to-heart on the balcony, which book fans will know the story of Blackfriars Bridge and what almost happened.
Educate me.
Magnus almost threw himself off of Blackfriars Bridge at a certain point. When he was, I think it had something to do with his father and losing someone he loved very dearly. And Camille stopped him.
Got it.
And those of you who know London know that Blackfriars Bridge is a real place that actually exists. And that's why when parts of the Shadow Fam visit London, they're always like, whoa, Blackfriars Bridge.
Got it.
Because it's a landmark in our world.
Wow. That's wild.
But this is the first time, too, that, you know, Simon is seeing another side of Magnus and seeing his struggle as well in becoming being a Downworlder. And what that can mean to have eternal life.
Yeah.
Now we're back at the Institute, and Jocelyn has shown up in Clary's bedroom. Last time they spoke, they had a big disagreement. It's a bittersweet scene because it is a moment where they get to reconnect and go, look, I'm not going to hold these lies over you for the rest of my life, but I'm not going to go with you.
Right.
And after talking to Alec, after talking to Isabel, Clary makes the choice to stay in New York, no matter what her mom does. And I think it breaks Jocelyn's heart a little bit. But Clary has finally found a place and a home. That's all she's ever wanted. Oh, and sweet moment between mom and daughter. Now back to torture.
Yeah, back to torture. All these Silent Brothers are wearing masks except for Steven. And it was like, it was warm in there. And I was genuinely worried one of these guys was going to pass out at one point, but nobody did. They all just stood there. They were absolutely professional. They did a great job. Good for them.
Yeah, I remember it being so warm.
It was super warm.
There was so much fire and it was still hot that September.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Blah, blah, blah. Torture. Nick does an amazing job. Silent Brothers do an amazing job.
Yeah, he really does.
It turns out I'm still in love with my sister. Gross. Tries to kill himself. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah, Jace tries to end it all here. I think a combination of like shame and the torture and probably loneliness as well. Like I think like my little PSA about this is if you're ever feeling low, you got to find someone to reach out to, whoever it is, whether it's a trained professional or a friend or whomever, but you need to make sure that you share that with somebody because this is not the answer, never the answer.
I gotta say, Dom, there's such a heartbreakingly beautiful moment with it, and it really shows, because this is one of the first times we've gotten to see the other side of the Soul Sword. There is this thing of this tension that it brings out when it's bringing out the truth, and you have that so much. But then when the Soul Sword strikes against you, when you try and use it against yourself, you just crumble. Because it, I can't remember exactly, do you remember the mythology of exactly what it does?
No, but I remember what I was told on set.
Yeah.
It was meant to feel like air or pressure in my head expanding from the inside. That's what it was meant to feel. It was meant to feel like my head was going to explode off my body. Mm-hmm. So like if you can imagine, I guess, and this is sort of how I thought through it, if you can imagine, obviously we can see what Jace looks like in this and it isn't happening. But what I thought was happening is that the bones in my skull were starting to break as the pressure started to build outwards. And I could feel them cracking around my head and obviously them jaw and, you know, zygomatic bones under your eyes and then your nose and your teeth and everything. That's what that was supposed to feel like, is just all of a sudden this, it starts to expand from the inside, which is pretty fucking grim. But there you go. That's where we're at. Now we're on to the floaty powder scene that we were talking about.
Yes, where Magnus takes the grave dirt.
Could anyone have done that? Or did that have to be Magnus with his magic powers? I didn't see any blue coming out of his hands.
I think anyone could have done it, but I think they only trust Magnus to do it because
Raphael and
Simon are both sired by Camille.
Yeah.
So she has a little bit of a pull on them.
So we get Camille back and she's in a cage. Now shit's getting interesting. Cut to Matt has a bloody hand.
Oh,
for what reason?
Clary calls Simon. Finally, Clary calls Simon. He's like, hey, buddy, I'm just checking in. I hope you're good.
Yeah.
And come around the corner and then we have Bloody Hand Matt.
Yeah, Bloody Hand Matt. Something's gone down. But to whom? If I haven't given it away already.
Right? And then come around the corner. Uh-oh, bloody footprint. Clary's bedroom.
Not great.
Who is it? But our dear beloved Jocelyn on the floor, heart ripped out of her chest.
Oh, dear. He doesn't know yet.
He doesn't know until he comes around the corner. Yeah, because the mythology of this demon is that it takes over your brain and you have no memory of what you've done. Wake up with a bloody hand.
Got it.
And I remember we had to spend so much time, especially with this next scene with the CCTV footage, because we didn't want it to ever seem, because Alec and Jocelyn never got along and they were actually in contention. And that's part of what this demon does, is it takes the person that you have negative feeling towards and exacts those vengeful feelings and exacerbates them until you rip their heart out. But we never wanted Alec to have any intent of doing this to Jocelyn.
Of course, yeah.
So I remember there was a lot of discussion and Matt was really cognizant as well of making sure that it was very clear, the delineation between what was the demon's choice and what was Alec's decision to do. Because that was not a storyline we wanted to do.
Yeah.
Man, that's just
brutal. Remember reading it like, wow, we're really going there.
Yeah.
Because like season one, nobody really dies, right? Like people get close, but nobody really dies.
I mean, Simon dies, but then he comes back.
But then comes back. Like nobody dies and stays dead. And in season one, does anyone die and stay dead? Like any of our like sort of core group, does anyone die and stay dead? No.
We thought Dot did, but then she came back in season two. So
true enough. Yeah.
I think Dot was the only one.
Yeah. So interesting, eh?
Oh, Camille is going after Magnus about Alec. And they're talking about Queen Victoria's coronation.
Got it.
Basically, Camille feels betrayed because she thought that she and Magnus were on the same side.
Yeah, but she crossed a line. You did cross a line, Camille.
She did. She did.
You like get so indignant about this. You crossed the line. You started killing people. Stop being such a bitch. It's enough out of you. Hundreds. She sighed. Hundreds of vampires. Wrong. Not allowed.
Harry breaks my heart. Whenever they give him a chance to be emotional, he breaks my heart every single time.
Because it's honest. It's honest. Yeah. You know, like it doesn't look like... I know that I've done this in stuff previously, and I'm sure I'll make this mistake again in my future where like I'm thinking about it. I'm aware that I'm sad and that is like a thought process in my head. But I don't ever see that with him. I see sadness, not a process of sadness. I just see sadness. And I think that's really cool. That's something I've always aspired to work on with him.
And in the real way that emotion sneaks up on you, it always seems to just sneak up on him in a way. And I don't know if that's the character or that's him or it's, I mean, it's just Harry's brilliance. Oh, that's right. This is the scene where Magnus lets Camille think that she's glamoured him and then zaps her to Idris. I hear the weather's a delight. Who?
That a boy.
Look at that portal. Again, brilliant combination of fan on the day on her hair and the portal and Harry, and it just
all good stuff.
Poor Simon's like, hey, your message cut off, what's going on? Hope you're okay. I'm coming to the Institute. I'll see you in a minute,
buddy. Yeah, it's about to get bad. Then we're back in the City of Bones. I think I did this whole episode in the City of Bones except for one scene right at the end.
Yep, I remember that.
Oh yeah, poor Stephen's taken a knife to the old back. He's in trouble.
Oh yeah, dear old dad shows up.
Oh, yeah. Can't open the door with a dead Shadow Hunter's hand. That's a shame.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
So you're trapped.
The synonyms for different blade sounds when you have the closed captioning on is amazing. Yeah. Like swishes and clanks. It's like reading an old school comic book. It's fucking awesome. I'm super into it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Jace saves Aldertree's life here.
Yeah. That's how I get semi-forgiven, but not quite forgiven. Right. I still have to clean swords for two episodes.
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. They could have at least let you heal for a couple of days first. You were in the city.
Yeah, like I'm still beat up. Like I still have broken nose and like probably some glass still inside like subcutaneous somewhere. And this sucks. You couldn't have just 2 days. Couldn't have given me 2 days of just like three a day and somewhere to sleep that's safe. Nope.
Right. Just shout out to the intensity of Alan Van Sprang as well.
Yeah.
Just he has a way of such menace and heart simultaneously. Oh, that's right. Oh,
whack.
Oh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. The thing to the forehead, John Corr.
Poor John Corr. Oh, I got Loyal to Hodge. Fight with the Soul Sword here. So of course there was a fake one.
That's where it was. I knew you had to fight with it at a certain point. Man, I miss these fight scenes.
This was like my first wire pull as well. This is my first time Dean strapped a wire to me and just yanked me back 8 feet, 9 feet. Wow. Yeah, real look down memory lane here, huh? Hi, Kitty.
Yeah. Actually, this was the first time I did a Dino wire pull as well.
In this episode?
Scenes.
Oh, that's right, because you have the...
Did my first wire stunt ever. Yeah.
Wow. Momentous day. How do I get out of this?
Let's find out. Oh, he takes the sword off of you because they're going to take you captive and kill Aldertree. And then you kill a couple of Circle members.
Yeah, I've seen that. Necks. And now I've got Dad with the sword against my neck. Aldertree's tied up. Dot's there. Take my son, kill the other one.
Because they decide they're going to just take you captive and kill him.
Yeah, for some reason by hand, not using any of their weapons. Snap a dude's neck. That's how I get out of it. Is because stupid bad guys were just like, oh, let's just grab the best Shadow Hunter in the world with, and then whack, his face goes into the wall, and now he's a goner. Aldertree, you best be grateful. He's not going to be.
No, he's not.
I remember.
Oh, now Izzy's a demon.
Izzy's a demon. Could I do in our demon walk? Let's go, Izzy. Let's go.
I remember Mediev doing the stunts on this day because Isabel throws Clary across the room. And I remember because I didn't have a jacket on and it was a short sleeve shirt. Mediev couldn't wear any pads on her elbows or anything. Yeah. And huge credit to Mediev, my stunt double for seasons two onward. She would throw herself across a room with reckless abandon. And I was always terrified for her. She's the most amazing stunt double. Oh my God. She bounced off the ottoman too.
Yeah. This floor, we all fought on this at some point, and it's just like solid concrete. It's almost like marble. Yeah. It is so solid. And if you come down on it just a little bit wrong, you feel it for like a week. It's really rough when you come down. But, you know, oh, there's the wire stunt. Whack.
Up in the air. I remember they were, because we were doing this practically with me and Emerald, and they just kind of said to me, please don't hurt Emerald when you come down. Please be careful how and where you land.
You got to do it. Like, this is the thing
that
people forget about with stunts. Like, it's not keeping yourself safe so much. Like, you're sort of semi-aware of your body. It's the other part of it. It's not hurting anybody else. Like, I fly at you at one point with a sword. You remember at the end of season 3, I fly at you with that sword and have to not stab you seconds before actually stabbing you. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild, man. You got to have a good team. We had a good stunt team. We had an amazing stunt team, and they really talked us through it, and everyone was safe at all points. I don't think, other than like little nicks and bruises here and there, I don't think anyone got actually really hurt at any point.
No, I don't think so. Just a few. From season 2 onward, we were fine.
Yeah.
So here we are back in...
in the Institute. Demon's gone. Izzy's safe. Jace comes back in. Slow motion. Love a slow motion walk. Everyone looks good in a slow motion walk. Just like walk in like, yo, the fuck's going on?
What happened? What happened, guys?
Like, was, hey, everyone good? No? Your mum's dead?
Why
welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Claire just sits down. Jace is like, what happened, guys?
What happened here? Izzy's on the floor. We good? Is everyone good like that? Poor Izzy.
I love how Simon just like shoves you out of the way as well.
Yeah, that's fair.
Move.
That's fair. Jace honestly should have gone straight to Isabel. Like, the fact that he even had a thought for a second of like, Clary's sad, but also sister has to come. Like, let's go figure out what's going on there. Like, that should have been the thought process. And then there's a little, just like a little hint of jealousy. The focus pull that we use with the Simon, Clary, Jace love triangle oh so often with just different people in soft background dependent on where you are in the story. It's honestly amazing that Simon and Jace never hooked up, really. I think he says that at some point. I think he even says at some point, it's a miracle that I haven't slept with Jace at this point. And I'm like, listen, buddy, you're a handsome dude. You're absolutely right. You're a catch. And I don't know what Clary was thinking. Oh, wait, it's taken me on to episode 5. Stop. We have to stop.
Stop.
We're not on episode 5 yet. iPad, stop it.
Goodness gracious.
Good grief.
Well, that takes us to the end of this episode. And my goodness, what an eventful episode it was. It is interesting to kind of see all of these pieces connect as we're diving back in. For those, just I feel as though it needs to be mentioned, in the books, one of our first big departures from the books. Because in the books, Jocelyn does not die. In the books, Jocelyn makes it to the end of the series. And in fact, the last 3 books are about Jocelyn and Luke's wedding being planned. And then the book culminates in their wedding happening at the very, very end. We do something a little different on the show.
Nope. That's not happening. No wedding. No nuptials, guys. Sorry.
Well, not theirs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was like, who gets married? Duh.
Come on.
And now I remember. It's all coming back to me now. And also, let's say at this point, a very, very fond farewell to Stephanie Bennett, John Court, and Caitlin Lieb. We loved having you on the show. And Maxim. Maxim Roy. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
We adored having you on the show, and I know the fans felt the same. And thank you for all of the hard work that you put in.
Absolutely.
And the world to all of us.
Some of our best heroes and villains and everything in between. But as on all shows of this nature, people die.
People die. People do die. Absolutely. People have to die. And you have a chance of bringing her back at one point later on. So let's, you know, listeners, tune in to see if she brings her mum back. She doesn't.
Well.
She doesn't.
Well, it's not the last time we see her face on the show. Not by Clary's doing, but...
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that. Was I there? Am I even in this show? I don't remember what happens half the time, honestly. It was like 6 years ago and 3 concussions ago.
This is a while ago. Oh, geez, Louise.
Yeah.
Well, Dom, despite your 3 concussions in 6 years, it's been a pleasure rediscussing this episode with you
As always. Yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. It's been our absolute joy to talk to you. And next week we'll be discussing episode 5. Can't remember what it's called, but I know it's the 5th episode.
It's called Dust and Shadows.
Dust and Shadows. Love it.
And it's, I can tease that we will be discussing the infamous goat feet, the baby goat feet in this next episode.
That's this episode?
That's this next episode. Aren't you excited, Dom?
I'm so excited. I think like little hint of what we're going to talk about. That's probably the hardest I've ever laughed in my entire life. Mostly because we had to contain it. We can't talk about this now, but that is genuinely the hardest I've ever laughed. It was unacceptable. Ah, well, there you go. Until next time, thank you very much.
Well, angels, thank you. Funerals, baby goat feet, new warlocks. We'll see you next time.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine McNamara, and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia, and our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara. The episode was mixed by Seth Alansky. Be sure to subscribe to Return to the Shadows wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a review.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.